Gone Cold podcast may contain violent or graphic subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
European immigrants began arriving in modest numbers and settling the area about 32 miles northwest of Houston in the mid-1800s. The beautiful rolling hills and clear winding streams that surrounded this area were a major draw for settlers. No one would have stayed long, however, if the land came without promise. Lucky for them, immigrants realized fast that the rich soil there was ample for farming and ranching. And there was something there even more potentially lucrative: lumber. The dense and lush forests of Texas red oak, pecan, and particularly loblolly pine had the most enterprising folks realizing the full potential of the region in the form of timber. The small community that settled this 9-square-mile area fared well for the first several decades of its existence. The little town 32 miles northwest of Houston officially became the town of Peck, Texas. But it wouldn't be called that for long. After banker and attorney Thomas Henry Ball resigned from public service as a United States congressman in 1903, he moved to Houston to represent the Trinity and Brazos Valley Railroad. Thomas Ball had a dream. He envisioned the then sleepy and modest city of Houston as a major port of industry. To realize his dream, Ball needed a depot and a roundhouse, a place for servicing the locomotives. The tiny town of Peck, 32 miles to the northwest, was the ideal place to make this happen. Thomas Henry Ball did make it happen and further expanded the potential of the town by adding a freight terminal, section houses, and a telegram office, among other railroad line necessities. Just like that, Peck became an agricultural trade center. In honor of the man who'd transformed a small community into a viable place on the map and in Texas trade, on December 2, 1907, citizens voted to change the name of Peck to Tom Ball, two words. A school, telephone lines, hotel, cotton gin, and other businesses opened up shop there in the next few years, as did a post office, who took it upon themselves to single-handedly change the town's name once again to Tom Ball, one word. It's unclear if that was a mistake or intended. Anyway, Tom Ball was officially incorporated in 1933. After oil discovery right at the city limits that very same year, perhaps as the result of a population naive to the future monetary potential of black gold, residents of the town got a raw deal from Humble Oil and Gas Company. The citizens had sold their working souls for little more than free water and gas. When Humble Oil came to town, Tomball had a new name, but this time it was only a nickname: Oil Town, USA. Wells went up everywhere, and the company who had more or less bought the town decided to further ensure the blood, sweat, tears, and loyalty of the townsfolk, Humble Oil's well workers, and built them houses, parks, and recreation centers. In the decades to come, as the population grew little by little, Tomball was a full-fledged boomtown. Tomball was eventually free from their little deal with Humble Oil in 1988, the company who by that time was known as Exxon. When this agreement prematurely ended, Tomball was quite capable of taking care of itself, as it had become a bedroom community just far enough from Houston to escape the hustle and bustle of big city life. Long before the late 2010s, in fact, Houston had swallowed up Tomball in its seemingly insatiable hunger for more growth and more suburbs to maintain that growth in and around Harris County. There was a time in Tomball when violent crime was a rarity, only an occasional fluke of the human condition. But by the time Houston swallowed up the quaint community, Robberies, assaults, rapes, and even murder were more common there than in the average city in the United States, much like the behemoth city Tomball serves. But by 2019, following the more than decade-long trend of the entire United States, violent crime in Tomball was on the decline. The homicide clearance rate for the Harris County Sheriff's Office there that year was terrible, but not because there was an overwhelming amount of unsolvable murders. In fact, there was only one murder in Tomball in 2019, the murder of 29-year-old Elizabeth Marie Barraza.
We are so blessed to have such an amazing criminal justice professionals, our family, and a whole legion of friends who still support us 3 years later. Yet here we are, 3 years, and we are still doggedly engaged in this fight for justice for a young woman who was taken from all of us.
Born to parents Bob and Rosemary Nelly in Elk Grove Village, Illinois, on June 26, 1989, Elizabeth Marie was known to most as Liz. Liz was the youngest of the two children born to Rosemary and Bob, and though the Nelly family moved around some before settling in Texas, from Illinois to Missouri to Florida, her loyalty as far as baseball is concerned was fixed at birth. Liz was a huge Chicago Cubs fan. In 2008, she graduated from Klein Collins High School in Spring, Texas, a suburb just north of Houston. Before transferring to Sam Houston State University in Huntsville for the 2009 academic year, Liz briefly attended Stephen F. Austin State University in Nacogdoches. But it was at Sam Houston State that Liz met Sergio Barraza. The two had a lot in common, a passion for the Star Wars movie franchise and the Texas Renaissance Festival, the nation's largest of its kind. As many visitors to that festival do, Sergio and Liz enjoyed dressing the part in costumes they created themselves when they attended. While at university and shortly after they began dating, Liz and Sergio adopted a dachshund puppy together, his name Diesel. In 2012, Liz graduated from Sam Houston with a bachelor's degree in psychology. After graduation, she took a job as a data reporter at the Rosen Group's North Houston office, their flagship location. The Rosen Group is an electronics and robotics engineering firm. On February 1st, 2014, Liz Nelly became Liz Barraza after she and Sergio tied the knot. The couple was incredibly happy together by all indications and accounts, and in April of 2016, they bought a home on the 8600 block of Cedar Walk Drive in the Princeton Place subdivision of Tomball, Texas. Liz Barraza's friends described her as kind and altruistic, a thoughtful woman who was willing to give her time to others, whether a friend or a stranger. Her parents called her an amazingly giving young woman, a sentiment that is echoed by everyone who ever knew her. And there's certainly proof she was. A big fan of the work the Make-A-Wish Foundation does, Liz helped raise money for that organization. She also volunteered her time and tireless effort to the Peter Mayhew Foundation, and once even relentlessly worked within that organization to kick off raising money for starving Venezuelan children, a fundraiser that she herself discovered was far behind schedule. Solving this particular problem was painstaking, if not nearly impossible, but Liz made it happen and was responsible for its ultimate success. Peter Mayhew, for those of you who don't know, played the part of Chewbacca in the Star Wars films, and his foundation is, quote, devoted to the alleviation of disease, pain, suffering, and the financial toll brought on by life's traumatic events, end quote. It was natural for Liz Barraza to find her way to Mayhew's foundation. When she wasn't performing seemingly impossible tasks for charitable causes, Liz and her husband Sergio were recreating incredible likenesses of Star Wars villains' costumes as members of the 501st Legion, aka Vader's Fist, an international group of Star Wars fans who do the same. As both a member of the command staff and an event coordinator for the South Texas Squadron of the 501st, Liz recreated near-exact likenesses of Biker Scout and Jawa costumes, among others. Not one to miss an opportunity to make a difference, even her membership in the 501st Legion led to charitable work, as Liz would visit hospitals dressed as a stormtrooper simply to brighten the days of very ill and sometimes terminal children. It's what she enjoyed most about being part of the Legion, in fact. Her father, Bob Nelly, said that instead of a pistol in the holster of her suit, she carried a tiny baby Ewok so the kids could have something else to see that would further their happiness. Also, an obsessive Harry Potter fan, Liz described herself as a big geek, her humility unable to give herself the description she deserved, a selfless hero. To kickstart their fifth anniversary, Sergio and Liz Barraza planned to fly out to Orlando, Florida in late January 2019. Liz was especially excited since the main purpose for their trip was to visit the wonderful world of Harry Potter at Universal Studios there. Before they had a chance to depart, however, tragedy struck. On Thursday, January 24th, 2019, Liz and Sergio Barraza placed signs in their neighborhood announcing a garage sale starting the following morning and continuing Saturday. Liz had decided last minute that she'd hold the sale to make a little extra spending cash for their upcoming anniversary trip to Orlando, Florida to visit Walt Disney World and particularly Universal Studios' Wonderful World of Harry Potter. The decision was truly last minute, as the couple was to fly out of Houston just a few days later on the 27th. Sergio and Liz discussed the garage sale setup with one another, but Liz apparently made no social media posts about it. Co-workers, friends, and family also were not informed. So other than a few signs scattered throughout the Princeton Place subdivision, neither Liz nor Sergio went to any great effort advertising this sale. The next day, 29-year-old Liz woke up early. She drove to a nearby Starbucks at 6:08 a.m. to grab some coffee and returned to her home on the 8600 block of Cedar Walk Drive exactly 8 minutes later. The coffee had two purposes, perhaps, to help Liz wake up, of course, and to help keep her warm since the temperature was a crisp 35 degrees that morning. She and Sergio got started setting up the items for sale on their driveway immediately upon her return. At 6:47 a.m., they finished, and Sergio gave Liz a kiss before saying, "I love you," and jumping in his white panel van for his day at work, which was carpet installation. 4 minutes later, the unimaginable was recorded by neighbor's doorbell and security cameras. But the activity that led to the tragedy began hours before. At approximately 2 a.m. on Friday, January 25th, 2019, a neighbor's camera captured what is most likely a 2013 to 2014 or newer black Nissan Frontier 4x4 pickup truck with a Pro 4X decal at the back end of the vehicle's bed, driving by the home of Liz and Sergio Barraza. This Nissan Frontier is caught on another home surveillance camera hours later at 6:47 a.m., pulling into the Princeton Place subdivision from Kirkendall Road. The truck then pulled into the parking lot of the Goddard School, just inside the neighborhood. Exactly a minute later, the Nissan Frontier exits the Goddard School parking lot and presumably pulls out of the view of any residential security cameras in the subdivision. The vehicle comes back into a camera's view at 6:51 a.m., heading in the direction of the Barraza home. Because the driver parked at the Goddard School immediately upon entering Princeton Place, the passenger or passengers in the Nissan truck would likely see Sergio Barraza driving to work in his white panel van. Detectives, in fact, believe that that's exactly what the pickup's occupant was waiting for. Goddard School is 0.2 miles from the Barraza home, for reference. At 6:52 a.m., the black Nissan Frontier 4x4 pickup truck was captured on the Barraza's doorbell camera, driving slowly down Cedar Walk Drive. The vehicle slows even more as it drives past Liz, who is still in the driveway setting things out on tables for the garage sale. The truck then drives out of the range of any camera, at least any that are publicly known, before it appears again seconds later as the vehicle turns around, the headlights shining in the camera for a fraction of a second as it does. The Nissan truck then parked on the street, it's said behind Liz's car, the headlights of the truck still on and the engine still running. A person is seen walking toward Liz as she continues setting up. I've seen the individual described as walking hurriedly toward Liz, but it didn't appear to me to be necessarily hurried at all. It seems more likely that this person did not want to give Liz the heads up by rushing her. This individual is small in stature, somewhere around the same height as Liz, wearing a white long flowing garment that resembles an oversized dress-style nightgown, bathrobe, or trench coat, with what appears to be knee-high boots, also white. The person's long hair is possibly a wig, it's been reported. What happens for the 30 seconds beginning at 52 minutes and 20 seconds after 6 a.m. is caught on both a neighbor's CCTV camera, visually, and on the Barraza's doorbell camera, audibly. The distance and lack of clarity do not render the disturbing and graphic nature of the violence any less difficult to see. The video footage showing the attack on Liz is incredibly disturbing, and the audio from the Barraza's doorbell camera becomes unbearably nightmarish when the shots are fired. Together, here is the unfortunate true story that this footage tells. The person from the Nissan Frontier approaches Liz, who is arranging items at one of the tables. Liz can be heard on her own doorbell camera greeting the individual. "Good morning," Liz says. The individual pulls out a pistol from beneath their flowing robe and points it at Liz. Startled, Liz takes a step back. The unidentified person speaks for about 6 seconds, though the audio is unintelligible. At point-blank range in rapid succession, the individual fires the pistol 3 times, the bullets hitting Liz in the chest, and she immediately collapses onto the concrete driveway. The shooter quickly steps over Liz, points the pistol at her, again at point-blank range, and fires a shot into her head. At 6:53 a.m., Liz Barraza's shooter turns and runs to the black Nissan Frontier, which subsequently flees the scene. As the shooter fled, a man who lived across the street from the Barrazas called 911 to report he had heard gunshots and seen a black truck driving off as he looked out onto his street. About 58 seconds into this call, at 6:55 a.m., he saw the truck pass back by the scene of this horrific crime. It's also seen driving back by on the Barraza's doorbell camera, and it was likely an attempt for the shooter to double-check their heinous handiwork. Since the vehicle made its final flight from the Princeton Place subdivision the same way it entered at Kirkendall Road, it was caught on several area businesses' CCTV cameras, but eventually hits an area with no camera coverage, and the trail is lost. It's unclear if Liz's shooter chose to use this entrance slash exit because the others that feed the neighborhood would have likely produced better footage from the many businesses around them, or if it was chosen simply because it's the closest entrance off the main road to Liz and Sergio's home. Regardless, after fleeing, two more neighbors who had heard the gunshots called 911, and as they did, at 6:58 a.m., Harris County constables arrived at the scene. As they secured the crime scene and checked Liz Barraza for signs of life, responding authorities discovered that she was still alive. She was critically injured, of course, but alive. Emergency medical responders arrived at the scene soon thereafter and called for a helicopter to transport Liz to Houston's Memorial Hermann Hospital. While setting up the garage sale, Liz had set the house alarm to go off should any door be opened. At 7:19 a.m., Harris County constables entered the home through the unlocked garage entry door. This triggered the alarm, and since the security company could not reach Liz, they phoned her parents, who immediately headed to their daughter and son-in-law's home. A few minutes later, Life Flight finally arrived to rush Liz to the hospital, accompanied by a constable for protection. Minutes after they left, Liz's parents, Rosemary and Bob Nelly, arrived on the scene. When Sergio Barraza arrived home at 7:51 a.m., presumably after either hearing from the alarm company or his wife's parents, he was immediately detained by authorities for questioning. As a Harris County constable kept watch of Liz, as she clung to life at Memorial Hermann Hospital, her family trickled in. First, her parents Rosemary and Bob, followed by her big brother and sister-in-law. Just after she was moved back to Shock Trauma Intensive Care Unit, Harris County Sheriff's Office homicide investigator Alfred Vera relieved the constable of his station and continued the watch himself. Liz Barraza required life support, and trauma department doctors were doing what they could through tests to determine their next treatment steps, if there were any. After Sergio Barraza was released from police custody, he and his mother hurried to the hospital that afternoon. Both Sergio and his father-in-law, Bob, were faced with the unimaginable as they spoke about donating Liz's organs with a representative of Life Gift, a company that provides support and transportation of organ and tissue donations across the state of Texas. At about 12:40 p.m. on Saturday, January 26, 2019, trauma doctors performed the last neurological tests on Liz Barraza. A little more than an hour and a half later, she was pronounced dead. The body of 29-year-old Liz Barraza was taken for organ donation on Tuesday, January 29, 2019. As she had been so many times in life, Liz too became a hero in death. Her donated corneas gave someone their sight, and her two kidneys, liver, and heart saved four lives. At the Barraza home on Friday, February 1, 2019, more than 100 of Liz's friends and relatives gathered to gain publicity for her murder and to speak loudly for justice. They live-streamed the vigil, and local media also reported on the event, which ended with family and friends raising lightsabers toward the pitch-black sky. The following Wednesday morning, Houston Crime Stoppers announced a $20,000 reward, supplemented by outside sources, of course, for any information that led to the arrest and conviction of Liz Barraza's killer. Meanwhile, Harris County Sheriff's Office investigators were well into their investigation. Several facts offered either angles to pursue or theories to chew on. The cops knew the murder weapon was a revolver, since no shell casings were found on the scene, and it was clear from security camera footage that Liz's killer picked none up. It was also evident that the killer somehow had knowledge that Liz would be alone and in the driveway just after Sergio left for work. Liz's father, Bob Nelly, theorized that the 2 a.m. drive-by the Barraza home was to get a good look at Sergio's vehicle so they'd know when he left for work before they made their move. The initial lead detective on the case, Michael Ritchie, told reporters that the motive was particularly elusive. They could find no reason that anyone would want to harm Liz Barraza, and nothing had been stolen the morning she was slain. If it was a targeted killing, the cops had no idea why. That the shooting was random is certainly possible, but Liz's killer staking out her home the way they did is a strike against that theory. Others have speculated that Liz's killer is a man, but was clothed in a flowing dress to throw off any surveillance cameras that might capture his image. These folks argue that the mannerisms of the unknown assailant, including the walk and shooting style, appear closer to a traditional societal idea of a masculine role. Since the shooter was around the same height as Liz, 5'2" tall, if it was a man, he was significantly shorter than average. That, along with the description of the pickup truck, whether it was the killer's or borrowed, would seemingly make finding this individual a little less painstaking. Though Houston news outlets did a good job keeping up with any breaks or important details about Liz Barraza's slaying, particularly KHOU, Harris County Sheriff's Office homicide detectives were keeping relatively mum about the specifics. A year went by, in fact, with little to nothing new reported. Then, in January of 2020, Detective Michael Ritchie said there was, quote, something coming down the pike. It was concerning a warrant that the cops were reported to have been waiting on in August of 2019, 6 months after Liz's murder. I feel the results of that warrant will be critical in this investigation, Ritchie explained, and most likely will expose a suspect and who's responsible for this. Liz Barraza's father, Bob Nelly, also seemed optimistic about the warrant, the nature of which remains unknown to this day, as does whether it was ever executed. In January of 2021, it appears Harris County Sheriff's Office homicide detective Wallace Wyatt took over as lead on the case, though Sergeant Michael Ritchie is still actively involved. Detective Wyatt insisted the department still hadn't made their mind up whether Liz's killer was a man or a woman. In the time since, Liz's parents have kept her name in the media. Police have continued to actively investigate the case, and the reward has continued to grow. Crime Stoppers of Houston began the reward at $5,000, and thanks to Sergio's brother, who worked with the Peter Mayhew Foundation to supplement the reward with $15,000 more, it was $20,000 quickly. On the third anniversary of the senseless murder, Tuesday, January 25th, 2022, Crime Stoppers held a press conference to announce something big.
Crime Stoppers will be announcing an increased reward. With Elizabeth's parents, Bob and Rosemary Nelly, her husband Sergio, everyone up here, family members, supporters of the Peter Mayhew Foundation, Harris County Sheriff's Department, detectives, and we're going to do everything humanly possible to try to find out who killed their beautiful, kind daughter, Elizabeth. Today, Crime Stoppers is announcing an increased reward of up to $50,000. That's right, you heard me, $50,000.
After introducing the new reward amount, Houston Crime Stoppers Andy Kahn called Harris County Sheriff's Office homicide detective Wallace Wyatt to the podium.
Morning. Detective Wyatt, Harris County Sheriff's Office homicide. It's been 3 years since Liz was taken from their family, and we are still working this case. We just went to Miami to interview a person of interest. This isn't a cold case. This is an active case with the Harris County Sheriff's Office. We actively work this. We want more leads. We follow every lead. It is an anonymous tip. This is a great opportunity for you to benefit yourself and society and to help this family. We have numerous videos out there. Go to the media platforms, watch them. We're interested in this Nissan Pro4X truck. If anybody knows, in 2018, a vehicle that looked like this, this was in the Spring area, off of 99 Kirkendall area. Think about it. Go back to where you were back then. Think about it. Come forward and help this family.
What was particularly noticeable at the press conference was that diligence and determination to bring Liz Barraza's killer to justice had not waned, and in fact, might be stronger. Harris County District Attorney Kim Ogg made it known that the fight was far from over.
Good morning. I'm Kim Ogg, Harris County District Attorney. Unsolved cases are the unfinished business of law enforcement. The detectives you see who are on this case will never forget Liz, and they won't stop until they complete the case. Those of us in prosecution will always be here once they've solved the case and along the way to help them do it, because unfinished business is a job left undone. Liz Newell Barraza was a real person, having a garage sale, opening it up, like many Houstonians, when she was gunned down and executed by an unknown assailant. I had a chance to talk with the detectives on this case, and we know many things. Crime Stoppers works. Anybody can call Crime Stoppers, retain their anonymity, and make up to $50,000, a life-changing amount of money. Just imagine what anyone could do with $50,000. And all it takes is sharing with us a detail. Perhaps your relationship has changed. Perhaps there's something going on with your own health that's made you more cognizant of the sanctity of life. Perhaps it's looking at the pain that the Nelly family and Mr. Barraza have suffered for 3 years. This could be any of our family members. And the person with the knowledge out there about who did this could be any one of you. We know that rewards and anonymity work, but I also know that as a parent and as somebody who has my own loved ones in my family, that the Nellies are never going to give up. They will get justice for their daughter. I want to give hope to every victim out there. Keep fighting. Sometimes it takes years, but we eventually get justice. Accountability for this murder is inevitable. And with the public's help and the hard work of Crime Stoppers and this family who went out and raised $30,000 from other individuals who want justice for Liz, I believe that together we can do it. The detectives and I and Crime Stoppers have seen this over and over. On the way in here, Rosemary Nelly said, "You're probably used to this. You do it all the time." I want to assure the public that your district attorney is never used to murder, and I never will be. It's an unspeakable crime. It carries the harshest penalties, and we will get justice for Liz. And for others of you with unsolved cases, have hope. Follow the Nellies' lead. Take action. Get up and fight for your loved ones. And we'll be there, along with law enforcement and our prosecutors, all the way.
Perhaps the most powerful and impactful folks who spoke at this anniversary press conference were those who loved Liz Barraza. Her husband, Sergio, struggled as he remembered the day Liz was slain and the lack of justice since.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Sergio Barraza, Liz's husband. 3 years ago today was the hardest day of my life. I had to be at the hospital and see my wife no longer be able to be with me. I was told that she wasn't going to make it, and all I could do was cry in agony at why someone would do this. I didn't know what to do. All I could do was hurt. Unfortunately, today we are still trying to figure that out, why someone would do this. And so we seek the help of the public still by raising this reward up with Crime Stoppers to help get help from somebody out there who knows something, who can still benefit from this money. It's just still really hard to know that this is still happening, and I just hope this helps, and I hope someone steps up, because we need somebody to do the right thing. We need justice for Liz, and we hope to get that this year. Thank you all for being here.
Before he discussed the impact the COVID-19 pandemic had on the investigation during Q&A, Liz's father, Bob Nelly, reflected upon the past 3 years and what was to come next.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Bob Nelly. Elizabeth was my daughter. So, nearly 3 years ago, we all stood here around this podium to share the news of the murder of my beautiful daughter, Liz Nelly Barraza. And in the time since, we have taken every opportunity to share her life, her stories, and any chance we get to get the word out to the murderer that we will never give up. The Harris County Sheriff's detectives assigned to the case continue to work tirelessly for justice. Andy Kahn, the staff and volunteers at Crime Stoppers provide strength to victims. And most importantly, advice on best how to support this investigation. We are so blessed to have such an amazing criminal justice professionals, our family, and a whole legion of friends who still support us 3 years later. Yet here we are, 3 years, and we are still doggedly engaged in this fight for justice, for a young woman who was taken from all of us. Her life has inspired so many people. We feel overjoyed that her legacy of helping children and others in need has been extended and continues to grow. We need to bring this investigation to the next stage. That's our goal. Rosemary and I, after much thought and with advice from District Attorney Kim Ogg and Andy Kahn, we decided to raise the reward. To make that happen, we just concluded a strong effort to get that reward raised, and thanks to this press conference, we're going to let the world know. The result of those efforts is that over 145 people, many of them complete strangers, joined our cause, and together we raised an additional $30,000. To be clear, this reward now stands at $50,000. That is 50,000 reasons for someone to come forward and do the right thing. Provide an anonymous tip to Crime Stoppers and get this coward off the street. This is a public safety matter. It matters as much to us to get justice as it does to protect the citizens of Harris County. We know that there are people who have the information needed by law enforcement to close this case. And if you're one of those people, be aware the time to come forward is now, before somebody else beats you to the reward. This is a huge incentive. And we did this specifically to get that person to come forward. We have a very busy 2022 planned. We're going to spread the call for justice to several national crime shows, the local media, and we're starting an outreach to the community of people who discuss and debate the case in various forums, podcasts, YouTube channels, and now on TikTok. A recent story by Rebecca on the Criminology and Crime TikTok channel generated over 213,000 views and 13,400 likes in less than 10 days. We launched an information site at www.whokilledlizbarraza.com specifically to provide resources to these communities. We are focused on broadening the visibility of this case and reaching whole new audiences. We will never give up, and we will constantly find new ways to reach out and find the person that can help us solve this case. In conclusion, our family extends our gratitude to everyone who stands with us and preserves her legacy. She was a strong, happy, loving, and caring young woman who was taken from us far too soon. We all miss her every day, and that will never change. God bless you all, and may the Force be with you always.
Almost 5 months later, at the time of this recording, it's unclear if any new information has been gleaned by the reward announcement. But hopefully, the family's big push this year, 2022, will lead to the answers they need and the justice Liz Barraza deserves. The best possible place you can keep up with factual news about Liz's case is the website WhoKilledLizBarraza.com, launched and run by her family. We'll provide a link in the episode's show notes to that. If you have any information about the murder of Elizabeth Liz Nellie Barraza, please contact Crime Stoppers of Houston at 713-222-TIPS or 713-222-8477. WhoKilledLizBarraza.com, KHOU.com, Dateline.com, People.com, InsideEdition.com, and ABC13.com were used as sources for this episode. You can support the show at patreon.com/GoneColdPodcast. There, you can get the show ad-free and enjoy Patreon-exclusive episodes that tell stories of mostly solved Texas crimes and the bad actors who perpetrated them. I get those out as much as I can, which is not as often as I would like. Another way you can support Gone Cold is by leaving us a 5-star rating and written review on iTunes or wherever else you listen. Those reviews help Gone Cold's visibility, which helps new listeners find us, which increases the potential for someone with information hearing the show and reporting what they know to authorities. We appreciate more than words can express any support you give Gone Cold, so thank you in advance. Thanks for listening, y'all.